reunion with his most beloved son after 22 years of anguish and loss, so he chose to utilize this tremendous welling of emotion to serve his creator, channeling it to fuel his love of God. And Menachem Mendel of Kotsk says that Jacob joins his love for his long-lost son into the saying of the Shema and the acceptance of heavenly sovereignty. Which goes to the theological idea I've raised with you from time to time, that one of the primary ways we experience the divine, the almighty, is through our family relationships. That's the, not primary as in most important, but primary as in first. That we see the powerfulness and the awesomeness and the largeness of our parents and learn what God might be like in inference from that. So when Jacob is reunited with his son Yosef, it's this moment of upwelling of love and an understanding of that the love he feels for his long-lost son is equal or a microcosm of the love one can feel towards the Almighty. Silence, Mesirat Nefesh, gathering oneself together, and then being embraced by the overwhelming emotion as ingredients for successful prayer. Because, frankly, I think we all know it. Prayer is not easy. If you pray every day of the year, even once a day, but even if you prayed three times a day, I don't know how many times a year you feel that total commitment, that total kavanah, that total awareness of God, the real deep, profound, and epiphany connection with God. Maybe once a year, maybe a few times, maybe once a month, once a week if you're lucky. But it's hard. And I think our sages were well aware of that. And when I'm talking about this verse, they're hinting at all the ways in which one can draw oneself back to prayer. But what was really wonderful in the Talmud was this awareness that it just isn't easy. And sometimes shortcuts and cutting corners are necessary because we're not really there. And we can't always have Mesirat Nefesh. We can't always have that total commitment. And we can't always have that silent awareness of the divine, and we can't always have that powerful upwelling of emotion. And that last verb in the verse that I cited, Vayevk al tzavaro od, he cried on his shoulder, on his neck, for a good long time. So Shmuel Bornstein, who was, I think, the second such a, oh my goodness, these Polish words, such a tickle for a, Rebbe, he lived in the early part of the 20th century. What? Such a tatuchatavar, such a kanachagadar, Rebbe, asks the question, what is it, why does Joseph's composure break now? I mean, there is that beautiful moment both with Jacob and when he reveals himself to his brother that he retreats into a corner or falls on someone's neck to cry. And it's beautiful. I looked back at some old sermon notes about sermons I gave about the power of tears and how this is an incredibly evocative parsha that Josh Gettinger and I disagreed, but I think of this era as, you know, very macho, much like Boston in the 80s. It's a very macho genre of writing, and here we have men crying repeatedly in one parsha, which I find very touching. And to return to Menachem Mendel of Kotsk, he points out that there is nothing more whole than a broken heart. That accepting one's inability to pray, accepting the overwhelmingness of one's powerlessness in the world, that God is so much grander and greater than us, that we are small, that we are sinners in the hands of an angry God. Although I don't think God is angry, I'm just quoting. That sort of brokenheartedness, that sort of relief, if we can't muster Mesirat Nefesh, if we can't connect to the silence all around us, if we can't offer up authentic emotion, just knowing that we are humble and small and broken, essentially broken, can be a powerful entry into prayer. I've been kind of falling in love with some new singers. One of them is Sharon Van Etten, who's singing now, and one of them is a guy named Jason Molina, who died probably about 10 years ago, I think, now. And they sing with this rawness, this naked authenticity, this emotional lack of emotional affectation. And I started thinking about them as sort of modern day psalmists. And for many people, Dylan would fit into that category, Leonard Cohen, certain rappers as well. But I thought about the struggle to say an honest prayer. And sometimes we have to condense also. I'm going to leave you with three that I've always really liked. Has anyone seen the movie Ushpizin? So this fella, really a great Jewish work of art. This, I think he's a Bratslava chassid, has some difficult experiences through Sukkot. And at the breaking point, he runs off into the forest crying. And he says to God, "Terechem alai ani lo rotze lichos." God, grant mercy on me because I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be torn apart by anger. And he just keeps repeating it. And I shared it once with someone at the drug and alcohol rehab I worked at, and he thought it was a very powerful prayer. And I think, just God, grant me mercy. Grant me patience. Grant me grace. And then another great prayer comes in Numbers, where Moses prays for Miriam after she's afflicted by a skin blanch, what we call leprosy, but is not leprosy. And he says, "El na refanala." It's the short prayer of God, heal her. Bring healing, bring repair, bring wholeness. Help me be relieved of my burdens of anger and resentment. Grant me mercy. And then I just read this recently. This is not Jewish, but I thought was, if you can't come to any of these other places, if you can't locate your quiet, if you can't locate your Mesirat Nefesh, your soul binding, if you can't locate the richness of emotion, if you can't locate the humility of a broken heart, here's four good words. Please, God, help me. So I guess for all of us, but for me, prayer is difficult, and sometimes you can only get a few words out, and those are some options. If you can't remember any of them, just say, "Please, God, help me."